your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live and direct from my subterranean lair, my name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. Everybody, it's an Aries moon tonight, and we got a beautiful guest lined up. She's really here to share her amazing life and her paranormal journey and interesting experiences she's had. You know, the Mayans believe that everything exists within a giant macro spiral that arises right next to the Pleiades, and the soul spiral contains everything that has its material form, or a teos, or universe, and this anything without this essence will exist outside the spiral. And, you know, I feel that this spiral of life is what we exist in. And that's why I call this Spiral Radio. And I choose these interesting guests so we can sort of expand our minds and awaken what's just lying dormant inside of our body and our DNA and our genetics. And our true inheritance is our genetics and our DNA. So to share her interesting journey tonight, I want to welcome Kelly Coffey. And you can find Kelly, she's a YouTube personality. You can look her up. It's Kelly in the Raw, and that's Kelly with an I. And it's also kellycoffee.com, KellyCoffee.com. Welcome, Kelly. It's nice to have you.
Well, thank you for having me on.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, I'm so glad that we talked a little bit today before the show, because it really made me even more excited, because, you know, you're very intriguing, Kelly, because, like, when at first appearance, you know, you're like very bubbly, very outgoing, and you never suspect that you're going to talk about the topics that you talk about, and it like hits you like, you know, it hits you hard. And I find that really amazing and intriguing, and how down to earth you really are. And It's pretty much an honor for me to have you here, and I will be joining you on your show at the end of the month, and it's an honor to be invited on that as well.
Oh, thank you so much. It's definitely an honor to be on here. I had a wonderful conversation with you earlier, so I'm really excited about sharing some things that I know your audience is going to enjoy after the discussion I had with you.
Yeah, for sure. And KellyCoffee.com is the website?
Yes, we have a website that I think on Monday we're going to have it up and running. It's alwayscookwithlove.com, which is my spice line, and the profits support my Kelly School and basically spreading out this information and also a scholarship program for the school and for my sessions. So, you know, please visit there. You can also get my products at kellycoffee.com, the spices, but we also have alwayscookwithlove.com. So thank you for mentioning that. That's going to help everybody out.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, everybody, like I said, if you want to look Kelly up on YouTube, it's Kelly in the Raw, and she puts videos up all the time, and the topics go, you could find topics from hair and makeup to all the way to alien abduction. So she's really, you know, really out there and doing her service to others, as well as, you know, taking care of herself as well, which is the balance of being a human. And, you know, this hour is going to go by so fast, Kelly. So I have some things I would love to you know, get into, and certain experiences and messages that you have to relay, because, you know, it's good to share some experiences, but you have a certain message and certain accomplishment that you've been accomplishing with people, helping people, you know, understand what's going on this planet. And I think, you know, some of us are just catching a little glimpse of what's getting on, and it's so mind shattering when you realize what's going on with our humanity and the artificial technology that's like interweaving with our DNA. And, you know, it's pretty frightening, you know. So I would love to hear, first and foremost, if you feel that you came in as an awakened being and then you kind of forgot, or did something happen to you in your life where it kind of awoke you from the sleep?
Basically, I was born seeing and knowing a whole lot of stuff that other people did not. I grew up in a very, very small town and was raised Baptist. So this was not okay. My mom said that she believed me, but, you know, let's not tell anybody. So obviously, I didn't develop the psychic abilities and, like, every other person out there, the what we call negative, those vibrations come through first. And that's about all I was experiencing was, you know, oh, there's going to be a plane crash. This many people are going to die. And,
yeah,
you know,
wow.
It was awful living that way, knowing when your dad was going to die. You know, it was an awful way to live, because I didn't understand, because I grew up in the church.
So did you, like, and shut that off for a little while, like scared of it?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, after my dad. That's kind of what did it for me. When I knew my dad was going to die, it was like, I can't do this anymore. I'd just rather not know. So I just shut it off for a while. And then I was actually a director at a private Christian school when my abilities were turned back on. I had one of my former students who had already graduated came back into town and wanted to see me. So the short version is basically he played the guitar for several hours, and then I guess I was hypnotized or got into a state.
Some sort of trance,
hypnotic,
yeah.
Type state. Yeah, kind of in a trance. And then I'm just looking at him, and I'm like, oh, there's colors everywhere around you. And he didn't freak out. He's like, yeah, what color are they today? So it's no big deal. It was about 6 months later after that experience, and it was like, you know what? Let me see if I can do that on purpose and see auras is what he told me it was, the colors. So I went on to YouTube, and there was this lady in some trailer park, you know, with a 3-minute video saying, this is how you see auras. This is how I went in there, and I got a banana or something, I can't remember, some piece of fruit. And I looked, and it was like, oh, holy crap, there it is. So I taught my daughter, I taught my son, I taught everybody I saw how to see auras, and they were seeing it easily because I've got the gift of teaching. I can teach anybody anything. So it opened everything back up. And I got in touch with everything I was in touch with before, but still was so, oh gosh, you know, you grew up in the church. What else do I need to say? You know, just so controlled. And then I did television for a while. If you start sleeping people, you keep going. If you don't sleep with people, your career is kind of over. So I was like, well, crap, what do I do now? Someone says there's a thing called YouTube. You can make money on it. You do what you want. So I'm like, okay, let me try that out. So 7 years ago, I got on YouTube, and just became an overnight sensation with hair.
Yeah.
Which I don't
you're like
have
a YouTube partner too, right? You're like a partner with them. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm original partner of YouTube. You had to be invited by them back then.
Yeah.
It took 6 months to prove yourself. You have to have so many views. And anyway, there was a criteria, and I got to be a partner. So 6 months after I started my channel, you know, it's all about hair and, oh, let's have some fun. And then I had my wisdom teeth extracted. And 10 days later, because of complications, I died and popped out of my body. And it was like, oh, what is this? You know, there's a blue guy trying to trick me into going to a tunnel, you know, to reincarnate me, or, you know, that I call it involuntary reincarnation is what I call it.
Whoa, yeah, so, wait. I want to hear more of this story. We got to hear this. Yes.
I was in my living room. My husband was there, and I told him just, you know, hold my hand, don't say anything. And this tunnel, it started out really small. It's just a little speck and then grew to the size that you could, you know, drive a car in it. You know, it was that big in the middle of my living room. And there was this blue entity, a blue light being.
So what happened? Your tooth got in, and so the people in the chat room understand how you came to the point of death. So your tooth got infected?
I had dry sockets. So anybody that has had their wisdom teeth pulled knows what dry sockets are, if they've experienced it. It is awful. It is some of the worst pain it can ever experience. So I had it almost immediately after my surgery. So 10 days later, when hydrocodone is not even touching, you know, this, and I'm in constant pain that you can't get away from in your head area, you know, I thought I was going to go insane. It was the worst thing I've ever been through in my life, not able to get away from this pain. So after 10 days, I was worn out. I hadn't eaten for 5 days. They pack it with something that's like menthol or, you know, some nasty flavor.
Yeah.
So then it's hard to eat. So I was lacking calories and, you know, stressed beyond my imagination, not able to sleep or do anything. It was just horrible. And my sister-in-law was a nurse. So she's like, oh, put these tea bags back there and just, you know, hold them between your teeth. And I was in such pain for so long, I just wasn't even thinking. I don't do stimulants at all. You know, I don't do caffeine or anything. So I was not used to the caffeine, and I didn't know to spit it out. You know, I was just in a horrible place. And so I just kept swallowing all of this caffeine on top of all the other stuff that was going on. I was out of calories and everything. So that thing inside that makes you breathe, like when you sleep and you keep breathing, that had stopped working. So every breath, you don't know how difficult it is to breathe if you're having to do it on your own.
Yeah.
It's weird. You have to coordinate everything.
Breathing becomes really impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, how do I do this? Do I lift my chest up? Do I do these muscles? Because it's just so automatic. You don't even think about it.
Yep.
So now I'm having to think, how do I raise my chest up? How do I draw air in my chest? Because that automatic thing was gone. It was gone. So I called my husband and I was like, hey, something is very wrong with me. I'm not okay.
Yeah.
And that is the most intelligent thing that could come out of my mouth at that time. And,
it's funny, too, because when you call somebody on the phone and tell them, oh, my God, I feel like I'm going to die, they probably don't – you think you're exaggerating. So you probably were like, you know, like –
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
It was my sister-in-law. You know, I wanted to say, I really feel like I'm dying. But I thought she'd roll her eyes and say, oh,
yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, so but I felt like I was falling in a hole, and make sure, you know, ask me about this later, this falling feeling, because that's very important as to what is really going on.
Yeah.
So you get this falling feeling, you continue to fall. You're like, what is going on? Why do I feel like I'm falling in a hole? This is strange. And then when you pop out of your body, the falling feeling goes away, and you are just, you have no weight.
Met with
to
love,
you.
Yeah.
It's just, you are back in a energy form, I guess. You know, you're no longer in this body, and you're just in something that's not as dense.
And your pain didn't exist, right? Did your pain exist anymore? It was just instantly gone.
Oh, gosh, no. There was no pain. It was pure, unconditional love, and it was bright. It was brighter than 1,000 suns. But it did not hurt your eyes because you weren't looking with physical eyes. And you looked back at whatever this was. It was right behind me in the middle of my living room, but it was a membrane that I saw surrounded the entire planet. And this membrane was dark like sunglasses. You could see through it, but you had a really hard time seeing what was on the other side because it was so dark, like tinted windows on your car. So it's a membrane, and you hear it. It's not a, I don't know, it's not a hearing. It's just you pop. There's a popping when you come out of your body. It's a pop. A lot of people who have near-death experience describe that pop.
Yeah.
So when you go back in your body, it's like a train hits you. It's a little different than a pop.
Yeah.
It's like a wham when you come back.
You hit the wall, but, yeah.
So this, you know, I popped out of my body after I stopped breathing. You know, my husband's yelling at me, Kelly, breathe, Kelly, breathe, you know, getting more and more panicked. And I just start coming out of my body, going upwards. So I'm really tall, like really, really tall ceilings in my living room. So I started up at a 45-degree angle to this tunnel. And I would get closer and closer. And I saw all of this stuff that I didn't even know how to describe. It would be like, you know how you go underwater under the ocean and it's like, don't quite know what it is, but it's under the water stuff. You know, it's kind of a similar experience. You're looking out here and it's all this stuff that you don't quite know what to put in. So some of it's morphing, some of it's changing. I saw crystal cities. I saw everything I saw in ayahuasca was there, you know, plus a whole lot of other stuff was everywhere. So I'm looking around and the guy never stops talking. Come this way. This is the way to go. And he's doing his hands like Vanna White, like, you know, come into the tunnel.
Then they're probably cheering. You ever hear cheering like a game show? Like, oh my God, you made it. Thank God. And cheering.
No, this is a computer program.
Yeah,
that's
no,
how
not
you
sure.
know
yeah,
that
yeah,
this
yeah.
is not real.
This
you
is
know,
a simulation.
Then,
yeah, it's technology.
Back, yeah, later. I mean, I'm not, to, you know, even to that part yet. But when I got back and I was thinking about it, it was like, really? You just wake up. They get you at that point where you're just waking up. You don't quite know where you are, who you are, what is going on. They get you to that point. And it's like, okay, if this was a natural system, and when you die, you know, you should know what to do when you die. If you have something telling you what to do, something's
yes.
wrong.
Good point.
If you have to be told
you said
what
that.
To do,
yes.
This is not natural anymore. We have a system in place. Now, yep. The guy, his voice was perfection. It was the most perfect voice I had ever heard, kind of like the angels. Remember that one, too. They're artificial as well. The angels are. So his voice was perfection. And he wouldn't stop talking. And I was like, oh, look, something shiny, you know, everywhere. But I kept being pulled like a tractor beam, you know, towards this tunnel. And I wasn't resisting or anything like that. It was like, I didn't know what was going on. And this is interesting. So, you know, come this way. This is the way to go. Come to me. And at that point, I didn't even remember having a husband or children or even what Earth is. I didn't even know what Earth was anymore. It was just gone. It wasn't a memory. It just wasn't even there anymore. It was no big deal. And so I got really close to the tunnel. And he changed what he said. And he said, it's your time to go. And then something just triggered me. And I said, no, it's not my time to go. I have to go back. And I was wondering, am I going to have to punch this guy, kick him? You know, I have to grab onto the rim of this tunnel. What am I going to have to do to go back? Because something is wrong. I didn't know what was wrong at that moment, but I knew something was not right, and I couldn't do this. I could not go there. So just the second that I said no, I started to go back. That's, you know, in retrospect, that shows you how much power and control you actually have and how little control they have, the ones that are trying to trick you, that they have to get you to buy into what they're doing to get you to do it. So if I just, yeah. Oh, sure, it's my time to
you
go.
Have to agree.
I would have gone right on in. Yeah, I would have had to agree. So it's like, no, it's not. I went immediately back without a struggle or anything. Then I just, you know, I'm starting to, as I'm going back, I'm hearing my husband again, Kelly, breathe. You know, he's like panicking at this point. So I slammed back in my body. Oh my gosh. And then when I slammed in my body, my husband was still yelling. And I was like, okay. So I'm looking down at my chest and it's like, it's not moving. Okay. Now, what do I do? How do I do this? How do I get my chest moving again? So, I'm going to have to take a breath in. I mean, I was having to think about how do I breathe. So I took a breath in. And then I started breathing. And there was, oh, man, it felt like a train hit me. I mean, it, when you go to a place of weightlessness where you back are, you know, you're back to yourself, basically, and what you were, and then you come back into 3D, it hurts really bad. It's heavy. Instead of feeling, well, you know, I won't tell you how much I weigh, but instead of, you know, feeling like that much, I felt like it was 1,000 pounds or more is how much I weighed after, and it, you know, didn't take very long for you to remember who you were. So when I was out there, you know everything. You touch the everything. I mean, you touch yourself, basically. You touch everything, and you know why you came here, what we're doing here, and everything. You just have full knowledge of everything. When you go back into your body, though, after you die, there's a filter, again, where you don't have access to all of that. So since I touched it, though, I was easily able to, you know, come back here and then access it again. So for the last 7 years, what I've been doing is teaching people how to get to the places that I went when I died, how to access all the information of the everything, remote view, read minds. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. It's just knowing that you are God and knowing that you are powerful, then you can do anything you want. You make the rules.
Yeah.
So, you know, people get out of the matrix. I mean, when they realize who they are and their own power, the matrix doesn't bother them anymore while still living on this planet with everybody else that's all upset about Trump. You know, and they're just fine. They're not operating in the matrix. So I don't know. Is that all you wanted to hear on your death experience?
Yeah, well, there's more. There's more. I got more for you. So you first, before I had you rewind and talk about how you came to the point with your wisdom teeth and all that, you talked about, and it really made me go look something up in one of my notes that I wrote earlier today. Because you mentioned that you saw something blue, like a blue light or a blue being or something, that was the first thing you saw. Yeah. And when you said that, oh my God, Kelly, it made so much sense too. Because explain that before I tell you what I've found about that as well.
Oh, saw, well, this blue being, T.J. Bork. I interviewed him. It might be a couple years ago, 3 years ago. I kind of lost track of time, but he's a nurse. Or he was a nurse. He's doing something else now. He's doing something spectacular now. But he was there, and I can't remember if it was hospice, but it was something along those lines.
And, yeah, we had hospice when my mom was dying. Yeah, they're good people, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was there when over 100 people died. So he got to be there during that, and he has psychic abilities, and he can see what's in the room, basically, whatever it is. So every time but one time, there was a blue light being in the room getting them to go into a tunnel every single time. One time there was a guy that was screaming and crawling up backwards, up the wall backwards, and there was a red light being there to come get him and take him into a tunnel.
so listen, that
blue guy.
Listen to this now. Listen to this. So, because I feel that religion is kind of like the big deception. It's been given to us to lock down our consciousnesses and you know, keep us in a astral prison in a way, you know, in our spirit in a prison, you know. So in Tibetan Buddhism, and I've talked about it before, is when someone is on their deathbed, specifically even when monks are on their deathbed, they'll have a group of monks chanting these mantras to them, giving them instructions where to go in what they call the Bardo realms, right? And so now that I feel it's like a big deception, because they've been told and been doing this to tell them where to go during death. So, you know, it's like what you're saying, if you need to be told where to go, there's something wrong. So it's like they're showing them what simulation to go to, like what artificial simulation is going to happen. So basically they're chanting these mantras, right? They're chanting these mantras to the dying monk, right? Mm-hmm. And then at several points, they'll let out a shriek. From a whisper to a shriek to open the sutures on the top of the head so the energy will go out, right? Now, there's all these different Bardo realms, right? And each Bardo realm will lead to a different – yeah, this is ancient Tibetan Buddhism. You can look it up, right?
This sounds like the Matrix.
Yeah, so exactly.
This top of the head flow of energy stuff.
Yeah, so listen, it gets even crazier because it lines up to exactly what you saw. Listen to this, right? Like they'll be whispering these mantras, telling them instructions where to go during the death. And then out of these whispers on certain times, they'll let out the shriek, open the sutures, so the energy will go to the appropriate area or the realm, their desired realm. So now what they see is interesting now. This is what lines up with you, is what they see exactly.
Okay.
So there's all these different lights that a person will see that has to do with what happened in their life. Like, there'll be yellow lights if someone led a greedy life, and it will read them to the realm of the hungry ghost or something like that, right? But the first thing that they always see, right? The first thing that they see is this blue, intense blue light. And it's a tempting blue light that doesn't hurt your eyes, but and it's accompanied usually by a soft white light. And this may lure the person to the realm of the heavenly gods, they call it, but it's always appears with this first, they call it the central Buddha or the Varokana, and he embodies the skandha or mental formulation in his intense blue light. And it leads people to incarnate in the realm of the heavenly gods. And this intense white light is accompanied, and it allures people to the smoke of light, the smoky light of the hells. So it's like first you get to this blue light, and then it brings you to another smoky light. And it's like all these different realms. But the first thing you encounter is like this blue being. So the fact that you first saw a blue entity, like white, bluish light, is like right in line with the Tibetan Buddhism, what I feel is some sort of soul simulation, you know?
Okay. I haven't spent a lot of time looking at Buddhism, but I had a higher opinion of it than that. I'm a little disappointed that that's happening, because there's corruption there as well.
I love some Buddhism. Like, yeah, I even have mala beads on my wrist right now. I have mala beads on my wrist.
If I had to choose a religion, I would choose that one. It's pretty good, but I'm not, because I don't want to be bound by anything but myself.
But the Bardo realms, it sounds just like this soul simulation, and it's really interesting, because I feel like that's what it is. This is a soul technology, and
yes, that makes sense.
It's the best way to describe it, and like you said, if you need to be instructed on where to go and what to do at the moment of death.
That was wrong.
Yeah, something's going on. In fact, like, even with the Bible, if something is demanding worship, is it really a god? Why would a god have to demand worship? That should be your first clue right there.
Because it needs energy. That's why. Yeah. So, yeah, you need to work with stuff that doesn't need energy. That's better for you. But I don't want to scare everybody with this. You know, they're going, oh, my gosh, what do I do? You know, my advice to everyone, first of all, do what you want. It's your life. It's your decision. My advice, my opinion from my perspective, when you die and you pop out, don't go anywhere with anybody at the beginning. Go to that Starbucks in the sky. Go have a coffee. Wake up completely. Read a newspaper, the galactic newspaper and stuff. Be completely and totally awake before you make any decision on where you go after that. So by that point, when you're fully awake, you know who you are and you know what's going on. That's why they try and get you before you're completely awake. So there is a way out, and you do have a choice. People don't know they have a choice. Oh, you're going to heaven. Sounds real good until you look at the dimensions of heaven in the Bible, and it's a freaking box. You know, you go to it like a cube, and that's what you're going to live in, really. You know, I was looking at the dimensions of heaven going, seriously, you're going to stuff all of us in there? Really? So when you go where the soul goes, basically when you die, the spirit, I call it the spirit, or you know, the living light that we all are, that's who we are. Everything in white is you. Everything in color, including gold, is the video game that we're playing. So when you die, basically, because we're in this, you know, little trickery in the matrix, that you go to the moon, basically. When I remote viewed a soul leaving the body, it went to the moon, and there was almost like a straw coming out of the moon, and you go in that. And when you get in there, it looks kind of like intestines. That's my best description. I'm sorry, I'm doing the best I can to describe this. It looks very organic, like intestines. With my experience of the moon, it's in the fourth, definitely some third, fourth, fifth dimension, possibly a little sixth dimension. I mean, there's not numbers when you go up there. You know what I mean? You have to do the best you can at guessing where all these things are at. So you go down this intestinal-like tube into, let's say, something that reminds you of maybe a stomach that's filled up with air. And all these other tubes feed out into the stomach-like looking thing. It's just kind of like a holding chamber, I guess. And that's where the soul is stripped off of the spirit. And, you know, your vocabulary and words might be the opposite of mine. That's why I try to define what they are. So your soul is not you. It's the colors. It's the experience. It's the video game. You are not your soul. It gets several passes. But let's say this one soul has been on Earth 10,000 times and another one has been on Earth 20,000 times. One of them is worth more than the other one. And these are bought and sold, so to speak. Not literally like, you know, money exchanged. But they have a buying and selling kind of situation going on with the soul. So we're being used during a process that we decided to come here and go, hey, let's have this experience. And while we were having this experience, we kind of got tricked.
Yeah, we apply for time for the five senses. Yeah, yeah. It's like we are putting
in
an application.
We're being used.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're being used, and our experience has been altered where it is unpleasant in order to get the right frequency that they need. So it's more than just the souls, and there's more they feed off of our energy. It's on multiple levels what they're doing to us. Like the pyramid. You know, the pyramid is a symbol that we had long before we got corrupted.
Yep.
We were here. We were using it just fine. I look at it everywhere. We were using this thing. We were doing great. So they, in quotation marks, they, you know, came along, and they're like, oh, look, a pyramid. Let's use it against them. And then tell them it's bad for them and make them scared of it. You know, so that's what they've done. They've used the pyramid is just one of many. Look at all the symbols that. No, no, not the Nazi symbol. No.
Yep, the all-seeing eye. Yep. Oh, the swastika.
All of that stuff has a benefit that we were using, and it was working. And
they made it occult and hidden. And everybody thinks occult means all of a sudden that means evil or demonic. But it just means secret. It means hidden. But we're going to take our break, Kelly. But when we get back, I definitely want to get into, you know, the spider web that you saw and the honeycombs and everything else and a whole bunch of interesting omniverse tales that you have. And, you know, people need to know that, you know, our spirit body, it holds our consciousness. And it's like it's worn and animated by the soul, but it's sentient and it's separate from the soul. And, you know, we're like some kind of actors and it's like portrayed by the soul. And this, and then it's like in this light, your life is the movie and your soul portrays it like the role of a character in a film. You know, it's like, it's some sort of like simulation and technology. Our spirit body, our soul body, our astral body is like a technology, and it is some sort of bleed through with all these. When we have these experiences, it's like our different energy bodies are bleeding through. And I feel like that more people need to understand that we have these five bodies, our astral, our aura, our spirit, you know, our material body, and how our soul keeps them all enclosed. And when they're not balanced and when people are not aware and they're bombarding their body with like metals and sugar and all this stuff, it's really putting a veil over who we are and blinding us from our true capabilities and abilities. So when we get back, you know, I definitely want to get into more of, you know, getting in touch with our higher self and hear more of your interesting life, Kelly. So everybody, you can find her if you're just joining us. This is Kelly Coffee, and you can find her on YouTube at Kelly in the Raw, and you can find her at kellycoffee.com. That's Kelly with an I, KellyCoffee.com. And like always, you can find me at themysticalspiral.com. Coming up is this song is called Pullover Smiles, and I wrote it on a stormy night just like this about 10 years ago, and it was about how I had a vision of my mom. It's interesting that you say you would know when certain people would die, Kelly, because I wrote this song in like 2002 in California. And when the only time it rained in the 2 years I was out there, pretty much, I was sitting on a curb with my guitar and I had a vision of my mom dying from cancer. And it sort of made me fake a smile for a little while. And the song is called Pullover Smiles by Bring the Dawn.
Okay.
And Spiral Out. Thank you.
The sky. That smile, rain clouds begin to form. I want to see you shine.
At home, at work, or anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we're back. And that was Pullover Smiles by Bring the Dawn. And we are underneath a stormy Aries moon. And we are with Kelly Coffey from kellycoffey.com. That's Kelly with an I. And Kelly, and also, she's on YouTube, everybody. If you're just joining us, it's Kelly in the Raw, and she's a YouTube personality and sensation, and she's got all kinds of topics on there, from health to hair to makeup to alien abduction and everything under the sun you could find on Kelly in the Raw. So, Kelly, when we say technology, too, how this is all some kind of soul and astral technology. People may not understand what we're talking about, and it might, like, they kind of might roll their eyes a little bit. But let me try to let's explain it for 1 minute. You know, like, our thoughts, we're like this manifest machine, the way we are, and, you know, we have these planes of existence, and each descending plane will manifest the form thought of the plane above it. So if somebody has a desire upon a higher plane, that will return that desire to the, you know, it will manifest it on the other plane. So people don't understand that. It's like, just like we're using Microsoft Excel and we do spreadsheets. When we add little formulas in and little codes and symbols, things appear. Things show themselves. Things get accomplished. Just like that in our spirit plane, our astral, whatever you want to label it, that certain symbols and codes will activate things, and it would be sort of like a technology. So that's what we're trying to explain. So do you agree with me on that?
Man, you are getting deep. Yes, I believe yes. I talk in pictures, and I try to go as simple as possible. But that does make sense, what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like a language of symbols and colors, just like you were explaining, you know, and things are just a knowing. You'll see a certain symbol, and it will activate a knowing with inside your cellular memory, basically, you know. And I wanted to talk about how I feel, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, how us in this 3D physical life, in this incarnation, it might be our last incarnation on this physical plane on Earth. And I feel that most of us here now, and when we are all getting together and talking about these topics, it's because we made agreements in prior incarnations to be here now. And none of us are here by mistake. We're all here with a specific purpose and specific abilities to sort of move us over into this new shift, this new Earth that's rising. And do you feel that it's possibly one of, or if it's our last incarnation in 3D and this time around, and that if as people are transitioning to this 4D and 5D, if they're not comfortable with that transition frequency or vibration and they want to go back to that 3D physical life, they're not going to be going back to planet Earth. It's going to be somewhere else, because on Earth, this last incarnation is upon us, I feel.
It's, I obviously can't speak for anybody else on this. Just my experience.
Yeah. It's your.
But it's like, oh yeah, I'm not coming back. This is my last ride on.
Wow. Yes.
On this one, and yeah, this is it. I'm not coming back. I'm done. I think with this, completely done. And I think the corruption, in all honesty, just wore me out. And this isn't fun anymore.
I think that's why there's so much loads of information coming in now. It's like a time of knowing and remembering, because this is the last. This is the most important time. We are in a transition. There is a new earth upon us, a new vibration. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what that Schumann resonance is about. We were talking about it earlier, that 7.83 hertz. That was us in sleep mode. And now it's rising. And it's like that movie They Live, like when they're broadcasting sleep, that's
exactly.
Kind of like we were sleeping, and now we're awakening, and it's rising, and its heartbeat is beating faster. And you were talking about her earlier, how where you went inside your consciousness and you saw this big spider web and spiders and I would really like you to get into that whole story if you can and explain it to us, because that I found really fascinating.
Well, I participated in an ayahuasca ceremony approximately a month ago. I had wanted to do it for a while, but it's illegal where I am. So I had to wait until it was appropriate. So when I did ayahuasca, after having lots of experience being outside the matrix, outside the universe, multiverse, omniverse, the cell we're in, looking, getting on the level of these mantis-type beings and the gray-type beings, and kind of like a craft way, way outside of us. So I've been in these places where I can access areas, what I used to call neutral zones. I have to change my vocabulary as I learn and evolve, but they call them neutral zones because I noticed when you went into these places, no matter what you did, you created it. So if you were, awful, you create something awful. If you're happy, you created, a bunch of clowns or something. So you were just having things appear. So I was used to being in the areas where I had control over things, where I didn't understand it, but I was getting closer to myself is what it was, me in my godlike state. That's what was really going on. But so I would, go to all of these places and have a certain kind of expectation of how they would respond. And then I would astral travel. By the way, astral travel, you feel like you're falling. Remember when I was talking about when I was dying, you feel like you're falling. Yeah. What I've discovered with that falling feeling is basically what's happening is the technology. I fell asleep with turquoise in my hands because somebody said it helps you to sleep. Not the case. It helps you to journey. They were mistaken.
Wow.
So I woke up in, the sweating terror, where all the muscles in my body were gripped, and I felt like I was being sucked through this tube and falling, and it was awful. The only way I could describe it was like the technology they use when the aliens abduct you, and it's like old technology that doesn't feel good.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, aliens are also not real. Well, when I say not real, when they punch you in your face, you're like, Kelly, they are real. Well, that was a robot. Let's call it a robot, basically.
When you get an anal probe.
Yeah, it's not a human being, or, it's not something that's consciously doing that. It's a computer program that's running when you do that. So, I'm sorry, I digress. I went out to this place where it's like absolutely wonderful, and you see how everything works. And then I go astral projecting in the fourth dimension after falling, and then going, something is wrong here. I don't know what is going on. It just doesn't feel good. I always had an awful feeling about the astral realm, and I never knew why, because everybody else loved it. Or if they hadn't been there, they want to go there. You vacationed there yet? No, not yet. But I can't wait to. And I'm like, I don't want to go back. That was the worst vacation ever. So when you go in ayahuasca, basically, it's like you see, and 4D is the first thing you see. So this concept that you kind of hinted on it, this, I'm paraphrasing, the splitting of the earth or this transition or whatever into upwards into 5D. Everybody has kind of a weird conception of what that really is.
That's right.
It's just a raising of the vibration and a raising of the awareness. And you stay in the same place, but it's, you think you're in a different place because you're seeing different things because you're vibrating differently. So that's basically what I see here from that, that perspective. But the ayahuasca, 4D. So I'm like, whoa, I'm seeing this stuff with my eyes. Yeah, I can really see this in my mind.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa, this is awesome. Let me move that over because that's in my way. So I'm trying to push this stuff around. And I'm like, why isn't it moving? This is weird. Okay, why isn't this stuff moving? So I tried to interact with this web in the sky. I interacted with, there were honeycomb spheres around all the planets and the stars, or, you know, whatever we call them. So what we're seeing is not at all. You're just seeing this holographic, whatever they want you to see is what you're seeing, basically. So we really never see the stars and planets and know what they really look like. There is something over them, like a hologram that we're seeing. So, and it's a hive mind, that honeycomb, and then they connect all the planets and the stars. It's connected to us as well.
They're little astral prisons, right? Little astral cubed prisons.
Yeah.
Yes,
and it was
yes,
that hive
exactly
mind in
yes
place. So I saw the hive mind. I saw this web up there, and these huge spiders would come, and they move the web around. And there's dragons in this realm. I saw lots of beings, kind of like what I would call fairy-type beings. Some of them are bug beings, grasshopper beings. And they're all just, you know, happy, like little cartoons running around. And then I try to interact with them. And they interact with me, but it's different than when I talk to beings that have what I call that light stick in the middle of
yeah,
them. That living light. They behave differently. You know, you interact with each other. These beings respond to what you're doing, like you, like artificial intelligence, like you're talking to Google.
Yep.
You know, when you're typing in Google, it freaks you out sometimes. You're like, how'd you know that? But then you do something else, and it's like, ha, 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 you don't know me.
Yeah, you're a machine.
You know, so
yeah,
you're a machine. So that's what it's like dealing with these entities in this realm. And that's when I started to research, and it was like, oh, crap. I knew it the whole time because I never trusted the angels. I knew there was something up with them, but I kept my mouth shut for some. I mean, I told people I didn't trust them, and they were mad at me. No, Kelly, not my angels, not my
No, I've been saying it the whole time. You're saying it in your own way. Like, I say it the whole time. The Draco or the Anunnaki or the fallen angels, that's an artificial consciousness.
It is.
It's a programmed consciousness for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Draconians come in. Oh, those boogers, they get in there and they mess with people's sexual intentions and stuff.
Yeah.
And they get them outside of what they feel is normal into a place where they're doing things. And I'm not saying these things are wrong that they're doing because there are lifestyles and who am I to judge? But what it does is it puts people outside of what they're comfortable with for themselves. So if they're comfortable with one partner at a time, then it pushes them over into group sex. So that they get out of their comfort zone. Now they feel guilty and bad. Now we have these negative feelings that feed this grid. So I saw the what I call an overlay because I saw beyond it. You can see it. It's a skin. They put a skin over us that you can easily get out of. And I saw it because above all of this artificial stuff that would not move. I mean, I did everything I could to move. And it just responded like a computer. And I'm like, why aren't you working with me? And I go to these places where it works with me. So then I was able to easily see what is 4D is just all kind of like messed up. But what is the matrix, if I could use that vocabulary word, and what is living and organic, if you will, and what is actually you? So above all of this, oh, this is so beautiful. Up above, it's almost like you took your fingers and drew with light all the way across the sky. And it was flared at both ends, and I saw this white light just moving through at different speeds and different rates, but it was all in that general direction. And I tuned into it, and all of a sudden it started talking to me. It was different than this 4D grid system and all that I was dealing with. It was responding. I became one with it, if that makes sense. I understood it. In my own words, it was almost like a transportation system for the living light, which contains the everything. So it's kind of like the stuff that's in each and every one of us is traveling across the sky. That's my own words, going to another sector to expand some more, to create and expand. So, and I saw the road, if you will, or the transportation system up there where this stuff is going to another place. So, oh my gosh, it was absolutely amazing, and it changed me forever. Ayahuasca, the wonderful thing about it, I had a bunch of childhood stuff because I was adopted and things like that. It was real difficult for me to let go of a lot of that stuff, and that's part of why I did ayahuasca, to help me to let go of some stuff that I really needed to let go of. And it did it in a way that I really didn't expect. It was a little uncomfortable because you feel like you're in hell if there's some stuff you haven't dealt with and you're not ready to let go of. You cannot get away from yourself. It points you towards yourself. And if there's anything there that's not okay, you see it and you cannot get away with it. So you have to confront all of your issues and problems. And I did, and I let go of all of that. And part of the process is you get there to yourself and you go, wait a minute. Okay, I'm hearing myself. Okay, there's nobody else here. What is going on? It's a freaky feeling. And then you realize, oh my gosh, I am everything. I am it. I am God. And you realize that, like, holy crap, I'm God. I am so lonely. And this is so painful, being so lonely, because that I'm it.
I'm here.
And I'm so bored. I don't have anything to do. So, and you remember why you came here. And no matter how bad this thing is that you're doing right now, it is so much better than being alone and bored and being all by yourself. So all of a sudden with ayahuasca, I had this gratitude. I'm about to cry right now. It just overwhelms me now. I go out there and take a freaking blade of grass, like a tree hugger. That's kind of what ayahuasca turned me into. I'm like, thank you for having this experience.
I did it in 2004. I mean, I don't recommend it to everybody unless you're really ready for it, because, I mean, you have to go through a cleansing before. You should have, like, no sex, no TV, certain diets, no spicy foods, all of that beforehand.
They mean it.
Yeah, and if you've lived a life of turmoil beforehand, you will get confronted with everything you've ever done wrong, like I did, and it could be like a battle with your soul. So, like, I feel that sometimes when you're not grounded, Kelly, and you go into an ayahuasca experience, and what I call, like I had said, the lower astral earlier to you, but I feel that you pick up some kind of attachments in these lower astral entities when you're not a grounded person and you go into these experiences. So it can be dangerous.
Very dangerous if you do it and don't know who you are.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to sit here and tell everybody, don't go into the astral realm. I want to give you cautions instead of don't do it. Be careful when you do. Because think about this. If you're someone in a snow globe and you're in a store and you're looking out of the snow globe, and that is the only perspective you've ever had, is some warping figures walking by that you don't even know what they are. And you're like, oh my gosh, mystery gods walking by. This is freaky. I don't know what's going on. And then as opposed to someone in the store that goes over there and goes, stop stressing out. You're just something in a little snow globe. It's going to be okay. So what we do is we go in the astral realm when we don't understand those globs going by, and we don't even understand who we are or where we are or what is going on, and we enter the astral realms in this state, as opposed to, I know who I am. I know that I am God and created everything in existence. I know I am that. Now, knowing I'm God and I have power over everything that exists, now I'm going to explore my creation in the astral realm. So now I'm safe in the astral realm, and I don't take anything seriously in the astral realm. I go there and I have my fun, and I learn from it, and I get a huge benefit instead of getting astrally raped, which you posted that the other day.
Glad you
I was
say
like,
that.
Really?
Yeah.
No wonder I didn't want to go there.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
If you can get astrally raped, not a good place to be.
Definitely. We had a couple. We only have 5 minutes left, Kel. So we have a couple questions. One from Zero Crest in the chat room. 02 Crest says, "Hey Ra, when you have a chance, please ask Kelly if she thinks that the main motivation behind program is setting people together for genetics manipulation."
When you say program, on what level? I'm sorry.
I guess they say that she's saying that. They're saying that. She thinks that the main motivation behind, like, programming, like, they're is getting people together for genetic manipulation. I guess that's what they mean, is you think that they're programming people so they can manipulate their genes.
The program is to feed off of the energy is, from what I see mainly, with the programs that are in place, not necessarily on a genetic point. The ones that can affect our genes and our DNA and do it the right way, if you will, all they have to do is, you know, go to the center of the, you know, if you're doing it the right way, go like to the center of our Earth and project this frequency out and fix everything.
I think we can even change our blood and our DNA through powerful thought. You know, that's how powerful we are. You know, we can even cleanse our blood
exactly.
in ways. You know, yeah. Yeah, and
exactly.
They had another question, too. They were asking, Sherry was asking if you can see other universes, the omniverse. Maybe.
Oh, yes. When in my sessions, I take people, and I'm about to do a 30-day challenge. This is really cool because this is basically 30 days over a six-week period of all the stuff I do in the sessions at a very, very low rate. I mean, this is really cheap for what you're getting. And I'm going to take people through all of these, and they'll be able to overcome all of this stuff. I'm sorry, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
If you can see other universes.
See this, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So in this, part of it is I take them on a journey. I teach them how to remote view in 30 seconds. Remote viewing is really easy. I'll teach you. Go to that place called Imagination. Okay,
yeah.
I taught you in five. Sorry, that's how you remote view. So I teach them how to remote view. So we go beyond the universe, the multiverse, the omniverse, way beyond that to a place that I call infinity, then in infinity planes. Then I call the golden triangle that loops at the corners. Anyway, it's going out and exploring everything you created. It's really awesome. But the point really is that you need to go inside yourself and find out who you are. Then traveling is easy because
yeah.
there's no fear. There's nothing else attached, and you can just go explore.
Yeah. You shatter the constraints that lock down your consciousness, and you go, like they say, what do? Do I follow the light? No, like you go beyond the light. You exceed the speed of light, so you can, you know, go beyond it, you know, and that's kind of what you do. You shatter the constraints, and then time is no longer linear, and, you know, you shatter the barriers of time, you know, basically. And Kelly,
yeah,
thank you.
When has your imagination ever been limited? Never.
Yes.
Because
exactly.
that's your God there. No. No limits.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us, Kelly. And you can find Kelly at Kelly in the Raw on YouTube. And you can find her at kellycoffee.com. And that's Kelly with an I. K-E-L-L-I coffee.com. And what's the other website, Kelly, before we go?
AlwaysCookWithLove.com, which will be turned on around Monday.
And everybody, check her out. She does readings. She works with energy. She does everything amazing to help you, and her service to others is tremendous. So check her out. It's kellycoffee.com, and you can find me, Ra, on YouTube at Exploring the Ka with host Ra Castaldo, and at themysticalspiral.com. I have some Zoom classes coming up too, so sign up. And once again, we say, spiral out.